Welcome to For the Health of It, starring Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor. You know what annoys her? Misspelled words. Seriously, this girl is like a walking editor with her red pen. Our co-host Jessica Labby can't stand to be cold. Give her a blanket and some warm wool socks, and she's one happy lady. Mike, our producer, can't be bothered to drive. He lets his wife cart him around most of the time. Quirks or not, you've gotta love these three. And I'll tell you, they know their stuff. They will inspire you to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better. You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
That's right. I wear sweatshirts in July to bed.
Mike, do you even own a car right now?
No, I don't, as a matter of fact. I work at home. I mean, where do I have to go? I walk down the walk. That's my commute.
Do you own shoes?
No. I can't go anywhere, can I? I can't walk. I can't drive.
Your life is so simple, Mike. No. I love it.
Wow, imagine walking barefoot to work every day.
Yeah,
that would
great.
Be awesome. Okay, well, hey, what are we doing today? We are on one of my favorite topics. We are going to talk about the value of eating locally grown food. And we have with us certified holistic health counselor, Amy Haller. Welcome, Amy.
Yay.
Go, Amy.
So let's find out a little bit about Amy. Now, you have a really interesting degree. Can you tell us how you got that degree?
I attended the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, which is accredited through the State University of New York. It's a certification program. I went to New York City for 10 weekends in a row and would go to class all day, listen to amazing speakers. And I am now accredited through the American Association for Drugless Practitioners.
That's cool. There's an American Association of Drugless Practitioners.
And that's where my certification comes from. Yes.
That's really neat. So primarily with your job, you meet people one-on-one.
One-on-one,
and what do you do for them?
I provide them with an opportunity to improve their health through better nutrition, improving their sleep, creating exercise opportunities for them. I provide education and support and reference
resources. Seems like everyone you know, Jennifer, does that. It's amazing.
We do have an amazing network of people
really
in this area that can really help support someone in finding a better way.
You're a good person to know.
Aw, thanks,
for
Mike.
For many reasons. Can I borrow some money now?
Well, to get you a pair of shoes, maybe. Well, Amy, so it sounds like you do help people with more than just nutrition. I know your passion is nutrition. One thing I love about Amy is she's always creating newsletters or handouts that help people navigate how to eat better. And as you know, we've even had podcasts that discuss all of the different components of making good choices. And I was thinking about this, Amy, as I was preparing for the podcast, what I call the health food quality continuum. Mm-hmm. Now, tell me if you would agree with this. If we had to start from maybe the food that I would least like to eat as far as what it would do for the health of my body to the best food. And I want to see if you would agree with this. So I would start with what I would least likely do would be fast food, like a fast food chain.
Right.
And then maybe a chain restaurant. Then maybe more common restaurant food. Then conventional grocery store food. Then organic grocery store food. Then local organic restaurants. Small farm organic food in grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
Locally grown conventional food. Purchased more from farms or farmers markets. Then locally grown organic food. Then personal garden, preferably organic.
That's good.
My continuum. How does that sound?
Sounds complicated.
Doesn't it?
Yeah,
doesn't it?
But each step is better than the one before it. So you're always making a better step towards a healthier diet.
I remember about 5 years ago when we were really starting to talk about the value of organic food, I remember making the statement, for now, the big debate is organic food versus conventional food, but eventually it's going to be about locally grown organic food versus mm-hmm. store-bought organic, because as more and more grocery stores have carried organic, we've realized that there's actually farmers that are within miles from us that are selling the same food that's so much fresher.
Yeah, CSAs.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, there are so many weeks, especially in the wintertime, where I do go to the grocery store and I buy organic vegetables because I make a huge salad for my husband to take to work for lunch. And after I'm done preparing the salad for the week, I have a whole trash bag full of packaging because they have to package the organic food at the grocery store.
I bought 3 containers of lettuce a couple of weeks ago at the grocery store, and they're organic containers, but you know, they're the plastic ones that kind of snap together. And then inside of that is another plastic bag that you have to open. And, you know, I'm throwing away these 3 big containers of plastic. And I remember thinking, wow, what a waste. And then just the next week, I went into the farm that I belong to, and they had fresh lettuce.
That lasts in your fridge for 3 weeks as opposed to 3 days if you buy it in a grocery store.
What does organic really mean, though? I mean,
do you want to take that one, Amy?
It means that it's basically been grown. There's certain criteria that it has to be grown under. It's not dealt with any pesticides, herbicides, fungicides.
So it's totally controlled then. I was wondering if
it's
slap
USDA
organic
certified, there is the grounds have to be, you know, no pesticides for 5 years. There's a certain criteria it has to meet.
So they do regulate it then.
So it's fairly regimented. And it's expensive for farmers to do. So a lot of local farmers don't do it because there's such an expense.
Right.
Well, you basically can avoid pesticides, most pesticides, if you have organic. And it's also pesticides that don't just harm your health, but they can harm the ecosystem.
Right.
So a lot of people value organic just because of the earth. And you're also supporting a system of agriculture that helps nourish the land, you know, with natural fertilizer.
Right. Even when you buy organic foods at the grocery store, you're still paying for, you know, the carbon footprint that they're leaving. I think the average carrot travels 1,300 miles from farm to table. So you're paying for transportation, you're paying for packaging, distribution.
It's a well-traveled carrot.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, and what a ridiculous difference in taste.
Oh, yeah.
The carrots I can get from our farm, unbelievable how different they are from even organic carrots in the store.
You've brought in some huge carrots from the farm.
Huge. That's pretty big, I guess.
So, Amy, if people want to get these huge carrots, can you explain what a farm co-op or CSA is?
We belong to a farm called the Community Supported Agriculture, and a local farmer will have a farm, extra room to grow, extra food, and you essentially go in and buy a share. It may include some work. You can perform weeding, planting, mowing. We do a whole lot of different things, squashing potato bugs. And then once a week, there's a pickup. You pick up what's in season and what's available. You get your share, and then you take it home and prepare it.
And is it like a flat monthly fee that you pay?
We pay in advance for the whole summer, one fee.
Okay.
And it's much, 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 much cheaper than buying foods at the grocery store.
Oh, I did the math.
I
think it comes to like half the price for me.
Wow.
At least.
It's amazing.
Well, I know every farm is different. We belong to a farm where there was actually quite a waiting list to get in. But once we get in, there's literally like an old town meeting where the farmer presents how much money they need, the budget that they need to run the farm, and then people nominate how much they can afford to pay. And they say about how much on average they need per adult. And once they've raised enough money from the farm members, then we all know how much we've committed to. And then we can go in and get food whenever we want. And there's no commitment for our time or work. There's a small farm store that we can go in and take reasonable amounts of food for what we need for our family. So every farm is different.
Well, and yours is year-round also, correct?
It is year-round.
Ours is only from the first week of June till the end of October.
There's another farm that actually has pickup locations in many different towns on different days. So you don't, maybe it's 45 minutes away and you can't get there on that day. You can pick it up in your own town on a specific day.
And I know some farms have baskets, so every family gets a basket once a month of just random food that is available at that time.
And you know what else is great about CSAs is you can pick your own flowers there too and always have fresh flowers in your house
all summer.
That's neat.
Definitely.
I love it. Great. Well, what we're going to do is take a short break, and when we come back, let's talk about some of our personal experiences with our farm co-ops.
You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. Your host is Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. For more information about Dr. Jennifer or this podcast, check out spinalcorrectivecenter.com. If you would like to schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jennifer, call 603-673-5600 and mention this podcast to receive a special offer. That's 603-673-5600. To find a wellness chiropractor in your area, go to chiropractic.org/doctorfinder. Now, back to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
Back from break. Well, and this may sound, you know, even quaint for any listeners who are from large cities, but we live half a mile from a farm co-op that we belong to. And I can walk to the farm with our children, 6 and 9 years old. They can take a carrot literally out of the ground if they want. Usually we take the ones that are in the bins. And they'll literally dust the dirt off with their pant leg. Mm-hmm. In the winter when they have stored carrots, they'll go in and get a carrot and they'll dump it in the snow to clean it. Nice. And then they'll eat the carrot on the walk home.
Yeah. Nice.
I mean, talk about quality of nutrients for their bodies.
It's fun to go around to all the farm stands too. We always get in the car like on Saturday afternoon, like go to Lowell. And,
I think that's one of the biggest impacts we've had. We belong to a community supported farm, Suhican Soccer Farm over there on Amherst. And it's been one of the biggest effects is the kids. I mean, you ask any kid, you'll say, where does food come from? It's the grocery store. My kids plant the garlic in the fall. They harvest it in June. They know about tomato worms and potato bugs and how you harvest all these things and where the food actually comes from. And I think that has a huge impact on children.
Our kids have seen the farm at work. And then this year in school, my son's third grade class, they got to plant a garden and they each got to pick what they wanted to have in their little plot of the garden. Aww. And then this summer, every Tuesday, the class is invited to go and harvest it and see it grow. And so, you know, of course, my son came home and said, well, why can't we grow more in our own home? So since then, we've planted berry bushes, raspberries, blueberries, blackberries, strawberries, and basil and some stuff to have at home that we don't get from the farm. And our children are learning that's where food comes from. You know, I remember seeing an article a long time ago about how, remember McDonald's when we were growing up, they actually had commercials where they would show the hamburgers on trees.
I don't think I saw
that.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. They did. There was this impression that was left for the children that hamburgers come from trees. Isn't that crazy?
It's wrong.
You know, and then one day when you learn that, you know, the cute little cow that you see on your way to school is what's slaughtered for the hamburger, it's a different story. But isn't that interesting for children really learn where their food comes from?
Where their milkshake rivers.
right.
Soda fountains.
So you mentioned the carrot goes 1,300 miles. Let's talk about what I've read is called food miles.
Okay.
I know this is the terminology that basically how far a food has shipped.
Right.
And for any listeners who have read the book Omnivore's Dilemma, I think the concept of only eating what is grown in your area and what's fresh at the time is very interesting. Have you put some thought into that, Amy?
It is. And actually, we as a family are trying to do that. It's a little harder in New England because we have such a short growing season. But we've become very aware of seasonal eating, and we're trying to consciously eat things that are only present at that time of the year. Like strawberries came out at the supermarket, February? And I really wanted to buy some, but I waited until now. And now we're eating a glut of fresh strawberries because that's what's in season where we are here in New Hampshire. And it's made a big difference. I think health-wise, your body expects certain things where you are. And we're so used to the 365 days a year, whatever you want, whenever you want it from the supermarket, that your body really has a rhythm that it goes with and it knows the seasons.
But we do have winter. That's the issue here.
We do have winter. So in winter, you eat a lot of carbohydrates, the meat, the beans, the things that are dried and stored, the root vegetables that you can store in cold storage.
I don't think people do any canning anymore, do they? I remember my grandparents doing that. Like, we used to take all the stuff out of the
garden. There's a movement, I think, for people to start doing those things. But yeah, it's a lot of work. Yeah.
I was recently in Jamaica and we went to the farmer's market, or what they just called the market, and we got food, and I kept walking around looking for lemons because I really like lemons in my water. And I finally stopped and found someone who could speak to me. And I said, where can I find lemons? And they just looked at me like I was crazy. And they said, well, there are no lemons right now. It's not lemon season.
Crazy Americans.
We're on demand.
We're on demand. We're so used to what we want when we want. And
tomatoes in February is not something normal that we should be eating.
Well, and frankly, if you go to the grocery store and buy a tomato in February,
it's terrible.
Completely different experience than a fresh tomato that midsummer that you've grown or
picked
got
right
fresh
from the garden. Yes.
The food doesn't really even taste the same.
It's not comparable. Different. Fresh, locally grown produce has an amazing taste to it and a quality that's unmatched.
It's alive.
It is. It's full of enzymes and nutrients that aren't found in the grocery store.
I think a challenge with this goes back to how, as a society, we want things fast. Mm-hmm. And we want things easy. And we don't want to have to put too much effort or thought into it. So for someone to go to the grocery store and do their little circuit and buy the exact same food year round and cook about the same things is what we tend to default to with how much we're working and how little time we have. So what trying to eat locally has done for me is I've had to slow down, be a little more creative. Okay, so right now I can get rhubarb. What can I do with rhubarb? What is this? This is celerac? What is celerac? What do I do with that? And I've had to slow down and learn to cook foods that maybe I'm not used to, or to try to cook foods that are in season that aren't my typical foods. But it has expanded my family's ability to experience new things and have higher quality nutrients.
You know what? After experiencing picking my own farm food last summer, and then we were lucky because I was picking through November and I felt so spoiled. And then the segue came where I had to buy vegetables in a grocery store and I cried because they just didn't taste the same.
Yeah. You actually pick the vegetables yourself?
It's so relaxing. You go out in the sun and you pick the berries and the lettuce. It's therapeutic.
It's a very grounding experience. It's very connecting to the earth. You know, the process.
I get dirty though.
You do?
Yeah.
But there's good microbes in those dirt for your body.
Good point, Amy.
The whole thing is good for you. Huh?
That's why eating a carrot with dirt on it is really good for your body.
Well, that's a really good point. You know, we're so afraid of dirt. And if you look in the store, everything is so perfect. A conventionally grown apple or pear, for example, is just perfectly red, perfectly round. And organic food, especially local, is actually a little bit uglier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But definitely. It tastes better. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
You know, our carrots might have some black spots and our pears aren't perfectly cylindrical.
Things are a little misshapen, but it tastes so much better.
That's interesting how we've gotten used to things having to look perfect.
Diversity. That's what you're going for.
So what about, isn't there like the nasty 12 we should avoid?
That would be the dirty dozen.
Oh, right. Okay.
That's the 12 dirty dozen.
Yeah, that's a little more alliterative, isn't it?
The dirty dozen.
So I know that there's, okay, the dirty dozen. And I've read this many places. It's a particularly high pesticide contamination, meaning if you're going to try to buy organic, here's the 12 things that you need to buy organic. So I do have it here.
Oh, good.
Here's my list. And this is according to the Environmental Working Group. It includes apples, cherries, grapes imported from Chile, nectarines, peaches, pears, raspberries, strawberries, bell peppers, celery, spinach, and potatoes. That's what we need to avoid unless they're organically grown.
Right, because those are all highly pesticided.
High pesticide.
Then from Chile, of course, it's traveling thousands and thousands of miles. There is also on that website, they have a clean 15. And so those are the best fruits and vegetables you can buy that are lightly pesticided, herbicided, but they're the least amount of pesticide.
So I know on that list would probably be asparagus.
I think it's broccoli, cauliflower.
Avocado, maybe.
Avocado. The thicker the skin, the less pesticides.
Favorites. I'm getting hungry now.
So there are certain foods, and I've followed that because, you know, for example, an organic asparagus is a lot more expensive than a conventional asparagus. And if I'm not going to buy it often and it's not that much difference with pesticides, I'm not too concerned about it. I know Amy and I, we've had this conversation about how the foods that are staples, the foods that you're going to buy often and frequently are the most important to buy organic, like bread, dairy, meat. And then the foods that, you know, maybe like a chocolate bar, maybe, well, it depends on how often you eat chocolate, but say you have chocolate every few months, that might not be as critical.
Every few months? Uh-huh.
Well, you know me, I'm not a chocolate fanatic.
She's not a chocolate girl.
At all.
My wife is, oh my Lord.
So on that note, Amy, what do you feel besides those dirty dozen are the most important to buy organic?
I'm with you. I think the things that you eat predominantly in your diet should be organically grown, locally raised if possible, because those are the things that your body's going to get on a consistent basis. Things that you get here and there, even like the asparagus, buying conventionally raised asparagus that has a little bit of pesticide that you're probably not going to eat but every once in a while is fine for your body because it'll know how to process it and get rid of those toxins.
Well, then I would say, like, for me, lettuce is also important to buy organic because I do make salads often.
Well, and berries, the berries are so heavily pesticided because the bugs just love them.
Right.
So those are great things to always buy organically because those are heavily pesticided, herbicided, and then they spray preservatives on them to make them last longer on the shelves.
Well, and really, it's not easy to find berries in supermarkets that are organic. And if so, they go bad so fast.
Or you
buy them and they're half bad already. Because I assume their shelf life is so short when they do ship them, it's hard to keep them fresh.
Well, and it's good to remember, too, that anything that is on the conventional grocery store shelves takes, it's picked, not at the peak of ripeness, but when they need to transport it. And then it spends 7 to 14 days in transit time before it even gets to the grocery store.
They have to figure that in, right?
So they have to figure that in.
Yeah.
So you're getting something that's...
been sitting around a while.
Yeah. Not the best quality, maybe.
So I could see going to a farmer's market to buy organic berries that were maybe driven a few miles from the farmer's house, the farm would
be. And they taste completely different. We got some fresh strawberries down the road at the farm, and they taste unbelievable.
I also like to support stalls at farmers markets that are in transition from regular pesticide use to organics. I know to be able to say you're certified organic, it takes how many years?
I think it's 3 to 5 years.
3 to 5 years.
The ground has to be clean.
So I've seen stalls that where the farmer is in transition, so they can't say they're organic, but because the land hasn't had enough time. And I always try to support those stalls just to help them get to the place where they're organic.
Well, it's also expensive to become labeled USD organic, and a lot of farmers maybe can't afford that. So the food might still be organic, but they can't say it's USDA.
Well, and what's great about the farmers markets is you can actually talk to the farmer.
Right. You can talk to the farmer and say, what did you use? When did you use it? Do you use a lot or just enough to get by? How do you do this? And that's the great thing with the local relationship.
Yeah, that's really neat when you think about it. Mike, do you guys go to farmers markets?
Yes, all the time. Yeah, we belong to a CSA too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, which is great because, you know, whatever's happening at the time, you have to figure out how to, you know,
use what you've been given.
Right. Yeah, you have this big bunch of vegetables you have to cook, you know, before you go the next week. So it kind of forces you to eat more vegetables, which is great.
Which
you
is
know?
Great.
Yeah. That's true.
And maybe cook up some things you don't know how to cook, get some new recipes.
And it's a social thing. If you go at the same time, which we do every week, you know, you see the same people there and you get to meet the farmer and his family. So it's kind of, you know,
it's a good
social
experience.
Thing too. Yeah, it's great.
Well,
fun.
It just helps build continually that local community that you're a part of.
Absolutely.
Well, and Amy, do you know much about when you buy something local, how much of the money goes back to the farmer versus conventional?
I believe when you buy at a farmer's market, 90% of what you spend goes back into the local farm.
That's cool.
Which is a huge amount. And I believe it's only 5% when you're talking about, you know, a certain farm selling to a local grocery store. They only get 5% back.
It's such hard work.
Right, because there's middleman, there's packaging.
Yeah.
One thing you touched on, Amy, was the value of having the natural enzymes in the food. Can you explain a little bit more about what that means?
Living food has natural enzymes. And by living food, I mean things that are grown, carrots, tomatoes. And in each of those fruits and vegetables, there are natural enzymes. And when you eat those raw and fresh, they help your body to break down the food in your system. You have natural enzymes in your body that help break proteins and carbohydrates and different things down. But in the food is enzymes that will help even more so break the food down in the body to help digest it better.
Well, and I know when we were doing the burger battle
with
the homemade burger, one thing that you had researched was when there are pesticides and particularly preservatives on the food, like you'll find, especially with fast food, that, and tell me if this is correct, the preservatives not only kill the enzymes in the food, which is why they don't break down. That's why a McDonald's hamburger, for example, won't mold.
Right.
But they also, when you ingest them, they can kill the enzymes naturally present in your body.
So it makes digestion more difficult. Yes.
Wow. And then you have to spend money on digestive enzymes.
I was going to say, and then you can buy digestive enzymes to help you digest those. But when you're eating a lot of raw, natural foods, your body's going to digest things a lot better.
So you can build that back up.
You can build those back
up. But if your diet is primarily fast food or food with preservatives,
you're going to have digestive problems.
Wow. So probably the best thing you can do with digestive problems is just get yourself to the farmer's market.
Get yourself to the farmer's market, eat some locally grown raw organic food, and it'll help your body.
Well, that's the challenge I'd like to put out to our listeners, is instead of filling your cabinet in your refrigerator with boxed food that's been prepared, give yourself some time to actually prepare food that is live and whole, that you may either have to have a recipe or take some time to chop and eat, because you'll put live enzymes into your body and help your body be so much healthier. And support your local farms. The more we do that, the more we'll have more choices, the prices will go down, and we'll draw even more farmers to the area. So Amy, is it possible, I know that you've put together some papers that show the local opportunities in our area, the different farm co-ops, the different farmers markets. Mm-hmm. Can we put that on our podcast website for local listeners to download?
Absolutely. That would be a great resource for them. It shows all the local farmers markets in the area. We also have some websites, localharvest.org. For anyone in the country, you can type in your zip code and it'll show you the local farms in your area.
Oh, that's great. Localharvest.org.
Also sustainabletable.org. We'll have a lot of information on food co-ops, community-supported agriculture, and farmers markets in your area.
That is great. And for people living in the southern New Hampshire region, we will have a downloadable sheet to show what's available right here. Thank you so much, Amy, for helping us clarify all of the exciting information about local farm co-ops and the value of eating locally. I hope everyone buy some chard and some kale and some celery.
Let's go pick strawberries, Jessica.
Oh, yeah, I get some strawberries. Are there blueberries soon?
Soon, not yet.
Oh, okay, waiting for the blueberries. Sounds good. Be well, everybody.
You've been listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. For more information, go to spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call Dr. Jennifer at 603-673-5600. That's spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call 603-673-5600.